We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Third and goal from the four. Minshew shovel passes it, and this time going in for the touchdown, Tyree Jackson.
Well, it was all great at that moment. Ray Dinger, I'm sure you would not have minded if that play occurs, and then it's like, let's all go home. Call it a night.
Would have worked for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have. You were working later than I was, and we both had long days. Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. It's a football Sunday because the rest of the league is playing, but for us, it's a post-game Sunday, something I don't remember the last time you and I the Eagles had a game on Saturday, but they did last night, and they got crushed by the Dallas Cowboys. Let me put it this way, Ray. What did we learn? We learned that Dak and Zeke and all the Omega boys can flex against the Eagles' third stringers, that you can't put guys in the secondary who you just found wandering down Broad Street and expect them to know where each other is on each play. And
oh, that's where they found those guys. I was wondering.
I think so, in the parking lot, pregame tailgates, and that the Dallas Cowboys, Dakey and Zeke and all those guys can score seven touchdowns on a bunch of undrafted free agents called up that morning from the practice squad. That's what I learned. You learn anything more? Anything more than that?
No, that pretty well covers it. I am still, and I was just talking to Kyle, our producer. Mm-hmm. I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out. What the hell is Dak Prescott still doing on the field in the third quarter?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely.
You know, yeah. I mean, we do a halftime thing on NBC where you know it's sort of a halftime hit, and you're talking about the first half, and then Amy Fadul, who was hosting, said, "So what do you expect in the second half?" And I said, "Well, you know, the Eagles are just going to continue doing what they're doing, but I think the Cowboys have kind of proven their point." Mike McCarthy said he wanted to come into this game, get the offense cranked up, you know, get the guys playing with a rhythm. And they've done that. So second half, we're going to see, Gardner Minshew and then Cooper Rush, and Cowboys will start emptying their bench. And then the second half starts, what?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is still in the game? I'm still trying to figure that one out. I mean, if in the third quarter, if somewhere in the third quarter, and it could happen on any play, but let's say Milton Williams comes through and hits Dak Prescott and cracks his rib. Today, Mike McCarthy looks like the stupidest guy in North America.
It's not a big reach for him.
No, he's been accused of that before, but never with more justification. I mean, it was a crazy stupid game in so many ways. But the one thing I took away from it was, and I still don't know how McCarthy answered it, but what the heck was he thinking?
Sending
those guys out there in the second half.
I heard his answer. His answer was, here's his official answer. By the way, I'll give you his official answer first. The rhythm and timing going into the playoffs, that was really important, and we talked about that going into the week. I've rested players, I've not rested players, but we felt as a team first year in the playoffs, this was important for us to play. I really wanted us to get into a rhythm I was confident would help us in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did that in the first half.
He did that in the first half. You know what? With his final touchdown of the night, Dak Prescott broke Tony Romo's franchise record. I mean, the Eagles kept in a rookie wide receiver to break a fairly meaningless record in that regard. Jason Kelce played the first play of the game so that he would keep his streak going. Maybe they wanted Dak to get that record. I don't know.
I mean, to me, there is, they kept Zeke Elliott in, until he got 1,000 yards. And as soon as he got 1,000 yards, they took him out.
Yeah, same thing.
So, I mean, I guess it falls under the same heading. But to me, it's just, it's really, I mean, who cares? Who cares about breaking the Tony Romo record? I mean, if Prescott had gotten hurt, and again, it can happen on any play in the third quarter, and he's out for the playoffs, it is just so stupid.
So after the game last night, Ray, I know you are not tied into social media, but the Dallas Cowboys social media was crowing with putting the final score up and then three sentences, what a night.
Mm-hmm.
They were very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Jerry Jones in his box. Chris Christie back. Haven't seen him in a while.
I saw that.
Up, right?
There's not a bandwagon that he won't jump on.
Guy ingratiate
and tip it over in the process.
Yes, Jerry Jones was enjoying the game a little bit too much. And I think the Dallas Cowboys, you know what? I can't promise you that we would have been different if the shoe was on the other foot. But I will just try to look at it and say they enjoyed it way too much. And it begs, so the next question, of course, is, does it matter in the playoffs? As we move forward, as they play next week, and the Cowboys, most likely the four seed, that may change today, but they are likely to open the first round on the road. And the Eagles, of course, are going to be the wild card, seventh seed, most likely maybe the sixth. Next week, with the Dallas Cowboys in that rhythm that Mike McCarthy talked about, versus the Philadelphia Eagles, who had, 24 of their best players not even dressed?
Yeah.
Is it going to make a difference?
I don't think so. I mean, there'll never be any way to say it with absolute certainty. I mean, if the Eagles go down next week and lose, there'll probably be people say, yeah, you know what? This is a carryover.
Yeah, make the connection, sure.
This is a carryover. You know, they had that momentum, and then I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can say that if you want, and who's going to say you're wrong? But, I mean, you know, the Eagles go into these playoffs. I don't know if this has ever happened before. You got a team going into the playoffs that finishes the regular season without having beaten a single team with a winning record.
Yeah, it's the second time it's happened in league history.
Okay, so that's what they are. They're a team that has not beaten a team with a winning record. Now they're going into the playoffs where everybody has a winning record.
Yeah.
So what are the chances that they're going to advance anyway? I mean, so if they lose next week, you know, I'm looking at it, form holds. You know, the Eagles aren't quite there yet. They aren't one of those teams yet. But there will be people that will say, you know, if they had – they had played their real players, and you know and maybe they beat the Cowboys in that game. They would have kept that momentum, and they would have had confidence, and it would have, I don't know. I mean, I can't prove it, but I can't disprove it. The one thing that I said this to you this morning, and this is just gnawing in the back of my mind, okay? And I may be totally wrong, but I can't help thinking this. I can't help thinking that the memory of Sirianni in that Beat Dallas shirt way back in September is still stuck in Mike McCarthy's craw. And he had this opportunity last night to say, you know what? I'll take care of that guy. Beat Dallas? Now, here you go. Take this. You know, we're going to drop a 50 burger on you right in your stadium in front of your own fans. You know, no, build a T-shirt around that one.
Prescott, I certainly can't tell you that you're wrong, and you and I know how motivation works in pro sports, and teams love to kind of build up that outrage and then play it back. So yeah, you may be right. I don't know.
I don't know. But bringing Prescott out and having him play in the third quarter after they score on all five possessions, he's thrown for 240 yards in the first half. I mean, how much more rhythm do you need?
Yeah.
You know, so to bring him back out in the third quarter and run the risk of him getting one hit and being out for the playoffs, it was just so stupid.
Yeah,
even by Mike McCarthy's standards.
And a conga band, Ray.
So stupid that I just had to think. I kept thinking, I wonder if that could have possibly been part of it. But listen, you know what? Eagles, Cowboys, we've talked a little bit about, you know, I don't know if the rivalry is what it used to be. You know, maybe it's not quite what it used to be. Maybe the thing, a little bit of that hate is gone. I think it just tossed another log on that fire last night.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Next year, first time they meet, you would like to think that the Eagles will remember this. And the good news in that game is that most of the back seven that we watch tonight will not be there. Certainly won't be there in the playoffs.
They'll be out on Patterson Avenue selling peanuts.
Yeah, and I'll single out one guy, although we'll talk about many tonight. Andre Shashir.
Mm-hmm.
boy, does he not belong in the National Football League.
Certainly appeared that way.
God bless that guy. He got his moment, but he's clearly incapable of doing that. So anyway, we have that's where we start today. 215-592-9494. Our friend Mike Arafolo, former WIP midday producer, now a star at the NFL Network. He was in town for the game last night. We'll kind of pick his brain about that and about the first round of the playoffs, where the Eagles are going to go, and kind of elsewhere. Okay, so the Eagles did have a couple of injuries, pretty much to reserves. Tyree Jackson, who caught that first touchdown, hurt his knee. Did you have any impression of him, Ray, before that moment?
Just the impression that I had from training camp, which is there's a lot of promise there. I mean, he's got a lot to learn. He's quarterback trying to learn how to play tight end. But, I mean, you saw in the summer how much potential he has. I mean, a big guy who can really catch the ball, seems willing to block. I think that there's something there worth developing, but it still needs some developing.
Yeah. Sean Bradley hurt his shoulder. That could be a loss in the postseason. He's very good special teams player, of course. And some backups got dinged up. I don't know to what extent. Andre Dillard left the game. Brent Toth, who played center after Kelsey went out, and cornerback Kerry Vincent Jr. But, I mean, if the whole point was to, and I don't mean to minimize anybody's injury, but if the whole point for the Eagles was to avoid a player who you care about, I don't want to say care about, a player who you rely on in the postseason getting hurt, you avoided that.
Mm-hmm.
Although, by the way, so I watched the first half. We did the pregame, a lusty 3 hours. And then I went up and watched the first half in the stadium, and then it's like, you know what, I'm going to go home and watch. I did not feel like fighting traffic at 11:30 at night, so I went home at halftime. And I'm listening to Lewis Riddick, who I generally thought was pretty good. I mean, I've always regarded him as a smart, insightful guy. He's talking at the end like, oh, Greg Ward, that's a guy they're really going to rely on in the playoffs. They need him. And, you know, Tyree Jackson's hurt. Oh, boy, they certainly don't want to lose him before their playoff game. We always harp on the national guys, and maybe it's not fair, but did you get a sense that none of those guys, Steve Levy, none of those guys did any homework before this game?
Sort of felt that way, yeah. Yeah, and I've seen them during the year, and I think they generally do a good job. I especially like, you know, I don't think Brian Greasy brings a whole lot to it, but I like Riddick a lot.
Always liked Riddick.
Yeah, I have too. I like him in the booth at a game, and I think he's a really good studio guy when they have him on as a guest, because he really is. I mean, his years as a scout have served him well. I mean, he knows everybody in the league. He can pick up the phone and call anybody and get honest opinions, and he develops honest opinions on his own. I mean, he watches a lot of tape, and he comes up to conclusions that, yeah, this guy can play and this guy can't, and generally he's right, I think. That's why I have a feeling he's going to be, you know, he's going to be in a front office somewhere along the line. I mean, it happened for Mike Mayock. I think it's going to happen for him, too, one of these days. Might even be this offseason. Who knows?
No.
But, he said a couple things last night that I thought just seemed a little odd to me. And I kind of came to the same conclusion as you did, that they didn't prepare for this game the way they prepared for other games this year, because they knew that it wasn't a game that meant a whole heck of a lot.
It felt that way at the stadium. It felt that way there. And I know there are a lot of people who are upset that the Eagles didn't play anybody, that this game went down the way it did. I mean, you know, you and I listened during the week. I know you were on with Angelo, who was emphatic that the Eagles should play their guys. I heard you in postgame last night with Seth, who felt that by not playing the guys, the Eagles reduced their chances to win in the postseason.
He hated it.
I know he did.
I mean, he was stomping around. I mean, he hated it so much.
But, I mean, we've seen evidence that it doesn't, and the evidence was the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they tanked the last game against Dallas.
At the link.
A similarly uninspiring kind of performance, that one being the offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing, but in the opposite way. I mean,
yeah.
This one was embarrassing because your defense couldn't stop anybody. That was embarrassing because your offense couldn't literally score a point. You got lost the game 6-0.
All right, let's make a couple talk about some impressions that we did have. Where, as the show goes on, we're going to talk about the wide receivers. But my God, Ray, Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside should just not be on this team next year. Hideous performance by both.
Yeah,
Oh, Ray, what are you clinging to?
No, I'm not clinging to any. I'm clinging to...
That was a fairly qualified, yeah. I mean, I'll play the highlight, the low lights for you later.
Well, no, I mean, I'm with you in spirit. I'm just looking at it from, is Howie really going to bite the bullet here and say, okay, my these number one pick and a number two pick, I'm just going to cut them?
No. That is my sense right now. I'm really reacting out of what I saw last night.
Oh yeah, no. So what you saw last night, what you've seen ever since they've been here,
right?
There's no evidence that either guy has given you. Really, I mean this as literal truth. There is no evidence that on base of anything you've seen, either of these guys do in a game. I'm not talking about one moment on a practice field. I'm talking about in a game. There's not a single thing you can point to and say, yeah, this guy could be an NFL player.
No.
I mean, you haven't seen it yet.
No, dreadful. And on the short term, also, is it possible they'll find a spot for Jason Hundley on the roster just to be a return guy? He looked better to me as a return guy last night than Rager's looked all year.
Oh, by far. By far. Because he does what return guys have to do. He takes it up the field.
He runs.
He doesn't run. He doesn't run sideways.
He runs forward.
Yeah, I mean, Rager has... You know, the thing with Rager is, it's not just that he runs sideways, he runs backwards.
Oh, God, yes. That's jet sweep. He did it again last night. And it's like, oh, I get to watch him run parallel until he's out of bounds.
But to follow up on your point on Hundley, Hundley's been on the practice squad all year. And he's a guy that has some talent. He really does. I mean, if you look back on what he did at New Mexico State, okay, small school, but what he did there, I mean, he was a seven yards a tut guy. And that's from scrimmage. I'm not talking about kick returns. He's an explosive runner with good instincts and a heck of a lot more acceleration than you've ever seen from Jalen Rager.
Yeah. Also last night, I really did love watching Kenny Gainwell. I thought he looked very good. I know he's, you know, this has been an up and down year for him, some fumbles and such. But 12 carries last night for 78 yards, 6 touchdowns, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most touchdowns. It equals the most touchdowns an Eagles running back has had in 68 years. You could probably tell me who it was 68 years ago. I cannot. But I was pleased to see that. I don't imagine he's going to get much work in the playoff game next week because they're not going to rely on a rookie, and the veterans are going to be back. And I'm assuming Howard is going to be healthy enough they can use him too, and Miles Sanders and Boston Scott, and that's what I imagine next week. But that they ran for 149 yards last night, 5.5 yards average,
mm-hmm.
without Sanders and Howard and Boston Scott and without their offensive line. Man, Ray, running team galore.
Yeah, and that to me was the one thing you took away from it and said, yeah, that was pretty good, was the fact that they were able to run successfully against the Cowboys. They didn't have Micah Parsons, but other than that, the guys on the defensive line were the real players.
Yes, they were.
And the offensive line, who you didn't have a single starter, with the exception of Kelsey in a cameo just to keep his streak going, but you were played with all backup, and in some cases backups to the backups, offensive linemen, and they were ripping open some pretty good holes, and the backs were taking advantage of it. So that was the one area in which you looked at and you said, oh, you know, that was pretty good. So you mm-hmm. can feel pretty good about that, but not much else.
I like Gainwell moving forward.
Oh, I do too.
I don't know how the running back situation works out next year. Sanders is under contract, but I don't know what they're going to offer him, an extension, move him, keep him, whatever. But Gainwell, I think, you know, has showed more last night and has shown this year that he's a guy who can be part of your future.
Yes, he can. I really liked him from the draft. I remember I remember when the draft was coming along, it was well into day three, and we're into the fifth round, and I was looking at my board, and, you know, at this point I had drawn lines through just about all the top guys who were gone, and his name just jumped out at me. I said, wow, he's still there. And without really thinking that the Eagles were going to take him, because the Eagles have some backs. I didn't know they were looking for one. But at that point in the draft, it doesn't hurt to always get that extra running back,
mm-hmm.
and he was far and away the best running back that was still left on the board in the fifth round, almost to the point where I kind of wondered, wait a minute, there's something.
Wonder
if there's something wrong here, if there's something off the field, or if he has some kind of injury we don't know about. But they got him, and he came in and really was very good during training camp, and he's had some opportunities to play. Not a lot, but he's had some opportunities to play. And what he's shown you is that he's got a lot of skill. He really does. He can run the ball from scrimmage. The thing he does best is catch it. I mean, he's really a good receiver out of the backfield. He's got to learn some stuff about blitz pickup. He's got to become a little bit more physical, I think, running the ball between the tackles. But you can definitely see the ability is there. And I think he's a guy that he's definitely going to be part of your future.
Like it. Now, I know a lot of people, Ray, are going to disagree with us about resting the players last night. Some are going to think you just never do it. As I said, I heard Seth Joyner's position. I heard Angelo during the week. And some people, I think, just feel like they got ripped off for their entertainment dollar last night. And I get that as well. I mean, you know, you get season tickets. You want that to be a viable game, and it wasn't. But we're about to hear that. And the first caller who wants to say that is Al in Norristown. Hey, Al.
How you doing?
All right.
Good. So I got more of a question. I understand, you know, the players, you don't want to get your players hurt. But yet, during the regular season, pretty much most of the NFL, if there is a team that's up by like 14 points, they don't take their starters out, even though they know they're going to win the game. They're not thinking about injury during regular season. So my question to you and
I've seen it happen.
Well, yeah, it does. But
I mean, you see backup quarterbacks come in, right, and just kind of
that happens, but to a much smaller extent. That's my belief. But what would have been wrong if the Eagles would have went out and put, for lack of a better word, the second string and platooned the guys back and forth and let one non-starter get in and play a couple sets of downs and then back them out, put another one in, take your quarterback out, bring another quarter? Would that create more injury, or would it give everybody a chance to play and keep the score closer?
Well, my feeling is, you know, anytime you put one of your starters in the game, even if it's just for a series, you're running the risk of them getting hurt. You know, that's why the idea of you go into this game where we don't want anybody to get hurt, so they're just going to play first half. What, like guys only get hurt in the third and fourth quarter? I mean, you can get hurt in the first series. I mean, if the idea is to try and preserve your number ones and to make sure that they get to the playoffs and the playoff games as healthy as they can be, then you just don't play them. You know, the idea, we'll play a quarter and then they'll come out. Well, they can get hurt in the first quarter too.
Yep.
So you're either going to protect your players and preserve your players and make that decision that, no, it's more important that we get everybody healthy for next week when we got to go out and play the playoff game. If that's what you think you got to do, then you're better off just not dressing them, I think.
And the other thing is, too, I'm sure that every starter wanted to play. I mean, they all want to play. That's what they do. They want to, you know, get in the games. I just was under the impression if they would kind of work the second stringers in and out of the game and just give everybody a little bit of play in time instead of, now, yes, anybody could get hurt, but like I say, it could happen during the regular season.
Yeah, and it can happen in practice as well. Yeah. But this is, and thanks, Al. Thanks for the call. Have a great day. This is not the first time we've seen it. It's certainly not the first time this organization has done it. We just referenced the year they won the Super Bowl. Andy Reid did it on a regular basis. It's not fun to watch. I mean, it's, you know, the last game of the year, the Dallas Cowboys. You want it to be an exciting, competitive game. You want to win. It's a home game. You want to be there and see them win. So it's not fun, but there is a logic to it. 215-592-9494. Ray, coming up, I take the knee.
Okay.
I imagine, Ray, you will enjoy the next segment of our show as much as you have enjoyed anything that we've done in a while. So I'm just telling you, I am prepared to take the knee.
All right, and I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sure you are. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Sunday morning following an Eagles loss on 94 WIP.
Sippus gets it away. It's a bad one. It's a knuckler. It comes across the 40 and knuckles out of bounds at the 43-yard line.
Boy, that's an awful time to shank the ball on a punt. Nobody got near it. That was just an awful, awful shank.
21-yard punt. Maybe his worst of the season.
All right. All right, Merrill. All right, Mike. Well, Ray, with that moment, a dream died hard.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's what I was waiting for. Come on. Give me more. Give me more of the
Dinger Snicker. I'm not going to.
Patented Dinger Snicker.
No, I don't stoop to such things. No. I did all my snickering last night.
I'm sure you did. All right. So.
Actually, he followed that 21-yarder with a 24-yarder on his next attempt.
You want to hear that one, too?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
So, well, first, let's describe what happened there, because that whole drive was just disgusting. It's in the second quarter, and the Eagles are kind of still hanging on there. I think it's 24-17 at the time. And the Eagles have the ball.
23-17. It missed the extra point.
23, that's right. They missed the extra point. Yeah, boy, I got news. Zierlein misses one in the postseason. They may regret that.
Yes.
Seven this year.
Yeah, I know. He's not had a good year.
No. Eagles have second and six at their own 45. They're down 6 points. Hey, something can happen here. Shotgun, no huddle, Minshew scrambles up 1 yard. Okay, there you go. And then, that was negated by a Dillard holding call. Excuse me.
Right.
So they're back to their 35, incomplete pass, and Minshew gets sacked at his own 22, minus 13 yards. So instead of being at the 45-yard line, and I'm thinking, hey, one of two good things is going to happen for me. They're going to get points. I would be delighted. Or he's going to punt from his 45. Ooh, a potential money in the bank.
Yep.
They move back.
By the way, I'm thinking exactly the same thing.
Yes, although you're not that happy about one of those outcomes. They move all the way back to their own 22, and then he just shanks it. And then Dallas scores in like three plays, 15 seconds. And go into the half big time. So the bet we had this year was, will Aaron Sippus have 20 punts within that end up, the drive begins within the other team's 20-yard line? I was looking very good at the start of the season. He got off to a hot start. He didn't have a bad year. I mean, last night he was awful. You think it was a cold weather?
I think it might be the cold weather. I think
he might be used to punting a cinder block.
Yeah, he's an Aussie. How often has he been exposed to weather like that? And you know, he came here and he played in college, but he played at Auburn, where he played down south.
Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, Glenn, that was the worst night he had had all year by far. He has not been a bad punter. He really hasn't. But last night he was terrible. And first thing I looked at Seth and I said, Seth, I think this guy can't kick in cold weather. And Seth said, I think you're right.
Yeah, well, that could be a problem, you know, when you play in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And so we'll see that moving forward. But the net result of all of this, of course, is that our stupid bet is settled. And excuse me, Ray, you win this year, which I believe in the long term, like the 14 years we've been doing it, I think it makes it 7-7. I think it pulls us even.
I think we are even now. Yeah.
Dinner for five at Ralph's Italian Restaurant in South Philadelphia. I got a cough. Bear with me. Sorry, I got something in my throat.
Mm.
I think the pain of losing has gotten to me. Dinner for five at Ralph's Italian Restaurant, the oldest Italian restaurant in the United States, Ray.
I know.
I don't think the menu prices are the same as they were in 1901, but regardless, you, me, our producer Dan Wilson, our producer Moshe, our producer Dave Breitmeyer, a splendid night will be had by all, and if I know our producers, they will find a way to order everything on the menu.
I certainly expect that, yes.
Including a take-home bag at the end.
Probably so.
But you win the bet, so this is your opportunity to, I don't want to say gloat a little bit, but feel free.
No. Not going to do that. I'm just, I thought it was a good bet in the sense that these are the kind of bets you want because they go down to the last game.
Yeah.
You know, we've had several that ended in before Halloween. I mean, Cody Parkey won his bet for you.
Yes.
It was still October and the bet was over.
Before, he was winning games for Eagles with the double doink in Chicago. He was winning steak dinners for me.
Yeah, before he was no senor. Before we ever went no senor, he had won a bet. He had won a nice steak dinner for you. Yeah. So, but I mean, those bets aren't a whole lot of fun because they're over too soon. This was one I really, one of the reasons I kind of liked it was I really thought that it had a chance to go the distance. And it did. Went right down to the final game. Added just a little element of drama to an otherwise meaningless game.
Yes, and the Shankopotamus has really, really added a lot. Anyway,
I'm looking forward to going back to Ralph's. I haven't been back there. The last time I went there was with you.
Yeah,
we went with one of our listeners.
Yeah, loved it.
It was a great night.
And I love it because it's like you get the sense of being back in time. You
know, sure.
The black and white tile floors and the paneled walls and the menu, man, I love it. I usually get the veal / eggplant parm and just enjoy the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Little clams. It'll be a nice night.
I'm looking forward to it.
I want to add something in here because yesterday we did not give away our prize that we ever give away every week from Scheib Vintage Sports. I had a theme I was going to do today, and then in our pre-show meeting you said, the Midday guys did that theme like 4 days ago.
Yeah. They did it on Wednesday when I was in with them.
Yeah, I appreciate that you let me know. I would have looked really stupid. So we're just going to give the best caller of the day a $50 gift card to Scheib Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Checkout their Kelly Green Eagles gear. Hey, good to have for playoff game one at their Center City location or scheibsports.com. So best caller of the day wins the $50 Scheib gift card. Robert in Germantown is what? You know what? I'm sorry, Robert, you're next. Mike in Yardley is with us on 94 WIP. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great to talk to you as always.
Thank you.
And, when I was listening yesterday, I decided I had to call today because in the last 3 weeks, my wife and I have taken the opportunity to go to Philly for whatever reasons, but we always get the pastrami sandwich at Herschel's.
Oh. It's living large, pal.
Yeah,
that's such
a good
sandwich.
So I get on the West Trenton. I don't have to drive in, show up at Jefferson Station, walk up into the terminal market, and it's just magnificent. Yeah. So one of the things you guys could do for me is see if any other callers could get a pastrami sandwich that's as good as Herschel's, because I've never found one. It's just the best.
Not outside of New York City.
Yeah. Well, it's Herschel's East Side Deli. Got to go up to the East Side to even get close, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
It was like I said yesterday when this came up, it is their pastrami, and especially their Reuben, is the best I have ever tasted. And I've been to Katz's. I've been to the famous Meg Ryan Billy Crystal deli up
in
New York.
Did you reenact the Meg Ryan scene? Somebody asked me yesterday. Right?
What's that?
Did somebody ask me yesterday if you would reenact
the Meg Ryan scene? No, I had not. Nor had I been asked to. But I've been to Katz's, and I've had their pastrami. I've had their Reuben, and it's excellent. It really is, but Herschel's is better.
I love it. I love it. I've never had one that's as good. And if I have an excuse to go to Philly, I will time it so I can get lunch there. And I never eat the whole thing anymore. I have to take half home, or I'll go with somebody and we'll split it because it's huge.
Yeah, two meals is great. Mike, we got to keep moving. What do you think of the game last night?
For a half, it was pretty good. I thought Tsipras had got that punt at the end of the first half off too quickly because I think the Dallas rush was pressuring him, and he just fell apart after that. Couldn't kick anything.
Yeah.
But other than that, you guys mentioned it. Huntley, we've got to find a way to get Huntley on the field. You know, he
played very, very well, better than Rager in the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I really wanted to talk about is that I'm really encouraged by the fact that the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Colts have all done relatively well, and it's devalued the draft picks, and I think it is insurance against Howie making mistakes with it.
That's
trying
a really
to trade
odd position.
It away.
But you're glad that the prize was reduced because now he's not going to – But I disagree with you entirely, and one of the reasons is he's been very good at parlaying those picks into better picks.
Well, maybe, but I don't think it's a better pick. I don't want him to trade it for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or do anything stupid like that. We really need those picks to be
I disagree. We got to run. I disagree with the premise that he's that better picks are more problematic. That's a bad logic to me. I enjoyed his comments on pastrami, but I disagreed with his comments on football.
It is a different way of looking at it. I hadn't thought about that he's happy that the picks are now lower picks because he thinks Howie's going to be less inclined to trade them. They'll have less value on the open market. I'll always go for the more value.
It's like saying I'm glad I have a hole in my sweater because nobody's going to steal it. I mean, like that. I don't get that. Robert in Germantown, I believe Ray wants to vent, and I know he wants to vent in something that you want to talk about. So go ahead, Robert.
Good morning, guys. Pleasure to be with you again. Quick trivia question. When you hear the word French Connection, what two things do you think of?
Bernie Perrant's boat and the greatest line in Buffalo Sabres history. And the movie. That's three things.
Three things. You got it. So in the top 10 NHL lines of all time, I was checking it out last night, we actually have two. The Flyers have two lines in the top 10, mm-hmm. and they are the LCB line, and then something or other with Lindros as well.
Yeah, something or other.
Yeah, that was after my time. I'm a 60s, 70s guy. I mean, I grew up still remembering the punchline.
You
French
are aware
connection.
Of the Legion of Doom, right? I mean, you're
oh, that was what it was
life.
Called, the Legion of Doom, right? You got it.
Oh, okay.
But so I read a great story this morning by an Inquirer writer, Sam Parcheesi, if I pronounce that
yes.
properly.
Yes, he's the retiring hockey writer.
Yep, May 2020, he wrote a beautiful profile of Reggie Leach, who I saw as a kid playing with Bobby Clark, of course, in Flin Flon. Now, a couple of things about Reggie. One, as you know, in 1976, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Robert, I don't mean to be rude. I have no interest today in talking about the 1976 Flyers. Is there something
enough.
Like about now you want to talk about?
Well, yes. I think, in your event yesterday, I think what the Flyers should do, among other things, is get Reggie Leach into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think he deserves
okay.
to be there.
I appreciate that, and I'm entirely not interested in that today. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but this is not a day to talk about Reggie Leach. If you want to, Ray, I know you wanted to vent maybe about what was happening in the building last night while you were in there. You were in the Wells Fargo Center watching the Eagles game as the Flyers were playing.
I was. Yeah, it was just so typical. Playing San Jose. Obviously, I'm more involved in show prep, getting ready for Eagles Cowboys. But I look up at the screen. Oh, Flyers up 1-0. Oh, okay. Look up another time. Wow, 2-0. Hey, they might win this game. Then 2-1. All right. Then next thing 2-2. Then I look up and it's the post game show and it's Jonesy and it's Jonesy and Jim Jackson. They sort of have that. That glum look on their face. And I said, I kind of know how this turned out. A 2-0 lead in the third period, and it turns into a loss, an overtime loss at home. Just more of the same. And I know they're going through some stuff. I know they're missing some players and things. But it's just, this franchise just seems like it's nowhere. It's the best way I can describe it. They just seem like they're nowhere. Whether they have their players or they don't have their players, they're the same team. I mean, you said it yesterday probably better than I could say it now. I would just be repeating kind of a lot of what you said. But I have a lot of history with this team because I was a senior in college when the team was created. I was a senior in college. I was a senior at Temple when the league expanded and the Flyers were born in 67, 68. I was down there for Meet the Flyers Day. I was down there for that first game, that 1-0 game against the Penguins when there were 7,000 people in the building. I saw all that, and then I saw them from that point build something that was really special, and I thought really heralded a whole new era of sports in Philadelphia. I mean, that Flyers team and what they did 73, 74, 74, 75 was more than create a championship hockey team, was they resurrected sports in Philadelphia. I mean, all the teams in the city were in the dumpster. Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, all of them. And that Flyers team and that Flyers organization, led by Ed Snyder, changed the whole chemistry of sports in Philadelphia and opened the door to a tremendous sports renaissance that ran for the rest of the decade. And I really do think heralded the arrival of Dr. J and Pete Rose and Dick Vermeil and the run to the championships of 79, 80, and all those teams that went to the finals. It all started with that Flyers team, which was, they were playing a sport that hardly anybody in Philadelphia knew or understood. All they understood was the winning. And that's, you know, to me, that's what the Flyers will always stand for. And now they have just so wandered so far off the path to where, and you and I have both said it, and people I know that care about hockey, still the few that still care about hockey, say it to me all the time. You know, with the Flyers, they're right now they're just another team. You know, and you look around the NHL, and that's what, you know, we all knew from those years when the Flyers were good. There were that group of teams that were just, now they're just the other teams. You don't even really pay much attention. Team doesn't matter. The players don't matter. They've changed coaches every year. They're just gerbils on a treadmill, and, you know, and that's what they are. But we're not one of them. We're the Flyers. And, you know, we might not win the cup, but we're going to be fighting for it. We're going to be fighting out every night. And to see that gone, and I mean gone in every way that it could be gone, there's nothing down in that building. There's no spark. There's no life. There's no identity. There's no personality. There's no character. There's no nothing. And to see the franchise reach this point now, which to me, I think it's they're at the nadir. I mean, we've seen some disappointing years. But I mean, to me, right now they're at the bottom.
Yeah, because they're irrelevant.
Yeah,
they're not. I mean, they're bad, and we've seen bad. And they, I mean, it was 2005, 2006, whenever, you remember that era,
right?
When they were bad for a couple of years, but now they just don't matter,
right?
And there's no juice in the building. There's no talk of the franchise. There's no personality.
No, yeah. And that to me is. And I remember that year. I remember that year when they were bad.
Yeah.
But what you saw was. People were irritated. People were angry. You know, what happened to the Flyers? You know, how are they going to get back to where they were? Well, you don't even hear that conversation anymore. I mean, they are so far gone, and they're so far out of the public consciousness that people have just shrugged their shoulders, put their hands in their pockets, and walked away.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a tragedy. It really is. And I don't know how you go about getting it back. But the thing that really bothers me is
you need new people at the top.
I have a feeling that until you change the people at the top, that you're not going to get it back. And I hate to say that, but I fear that's true.
Yeah. Firing a coach or two isn't going to do it.
No.
You know, getting rid of Claude Giroux isn't going to do it. You need a systemic change, an organizational culture change, and I don't know that that's going to happen. All right, 215-592-9494. We worked them in. It's, you know, today is primarily an Eagle and NFL day, but we'll take calls on the other franchises. But please, something that's like happening now and not 1975, if you don't mind. Mike Garofalo of NFL Network is going to join us at the top of the hour. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's got game ball to his right. Back he goes. Gives ground. He is firing deep. And it is caught. No, it wasn't. Penalty flag thrown, however, as the pass was thrown for Ortega Whiteside. He seemed to have it,
yep.
And as he rolled over, the ball came free.
All right, spoiler alert, there was no penalty on the play on either team. The play stood. And we've seen it, and we saw it on replay last night. It's in the third quarter. The Eagles have the ball at the Dallas 22. Gardner Minshew throws it deep. Nice pass. And Ortega Whiteside turned around, and Ray, you know what it looked like to me? Because it was kind of a high arcing pass, right, coming down.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like when you're teaching your 5-year-old kid how to play catch with a football, and you kind of throw this high lob, and they kind of whiffs right through their arms. right? They fold their arms too early or too late and it hits the ground. That's what it looked like to me. Like a guy who never had caught a ball in his life was trying to catch a ball.
Yeah, I was thinking something very similar, a little different, but similar. To me, it looked like a guy who plays another position, that it was like a trick play, like normally sort of an offensive tackle, that you go into a formation where he's an eligible receiver, and then you throw him the ball, but he's never caught a ball in his life, and he just does the Edward Scissorhands thing, and the ball's on the ground. That's to me what it looked like.
By the way, the difference is that the offensive tackle, Lane Johnson, caught it.
Yeah, the offensive tackle you have here was a tight end and knows how to catch a football and has already demonstrated that in live action. That play last night, I mean, he really did look like a guy that has never even attempted to catch a football before, which is hard to believe.
We rant a lot on Rager because Rager plays. So we see his mistakes on a week-to-week basis and just kind of rant on it. Ortega Whiteside, it's so bad he doesn't even play, so we rarely get the opportunity to rip him. He has one career touchdown.
Right.
In all of his years. That was the – Ray – that and trust me, I'm on social media. You're not. The clip of that play is, I've seen it 50 times today, often with funny jokes underneath about it. It's incredible to have a pass like that go right through your hands.
Yeah,
could have been again. The game doesn't matter, but you would have been within 6 points.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost. To see it, I mean, it's almost comical in context. It really is. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's kind of true. And before the game, when we do the pregame show on NBC, one of the things they added to the pregame show is at the end of the show, in addition to predicting who's going to win and the score, and we have to make a quote-unquote bold prediction.
Oh, I know you always do that.
Everybody has to give a bold prediction.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, given the meaningless nature of the game, I thought I would have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
And so Seth's bold prediction was we will all be asleep by halftime. That was his bold prediction.
He wins.
And he won. But my bold prediction was a snarky one. I said that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside will set a career high today with 3 receptions. Just a little joke. You know. Well, lo and behold, it was worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually thought that he would probably play a lot, which he did. And there's no way he's not going to catch at least 3 balls if you throw him. He had 3 targets and didn't catch any of them. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that's the one we'll remember.
But he can block.
So we're told.
Yeah.
It's great. Remember, we were told about Mac Hollins, too.
He's doing well in Miami.
Yeah, Mac Hollins, he always lined up in the right place.
Oh, yeah, that was always a great one.
He lined up in the right place, and he could block.
He goes to Miami, he's got a productive career. As much as we praise Stoutland, Jeff Stoutland is a great offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have never, and I don't want to pass judgment on the new guy's first year. But
no,
Eagles,
this wide receiver coach, he's been here 2 years.
That's right.
He's a holdover.
That's right.
Aaron Moorhead.
He's the one they kept, yes.
He's the one guy they kept. Can you believe that? On a staff where they like blew out almost every coach, they brought him back.
Right. And for the life of me, they haven't had a coach who has made the wide receivers better in a decade. Now, I don't know that all the coaches were terrible, but none of them was able to make the wide receivers on this team better.
No, I'll tell you that I think they
had a lot of the guys. I'm sorry, just 1 second.
Yeah,
a lot of the guys leave, and then they get better.
Yes.
Aguilar goes to Oakland, has a good season, and then the Patriots. Mac Hollins, who you referenced, goes down to Miami. I don't know that he's a leading wide receiver, but anytime I watch the Dolphins game, he's getting a couple of catches.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's... I mean, compared to Ortega Whiteside, he's Dwight Clark. I mean, I will tell you, I think they had one really good receiver coach, and it was Mike Rowe. But then promoted him to offensive coordinator, and turned out he wasn't good at that.
Effect.
But the year he came as receiver coach, that was the year that Aguilar came back and had his really good year. That was the Super Bowl year when he played very well.
Good point.
And he brought back Alshon Jeffrey from the scrap heap, and he had a good year.
Yeah.
You know, when Groh was coaching those guys, you could see them really improve. That's what coaches are supposed to do. But then, at the end of the year, Frank Reich leaves and they make Mike Groh the offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden it's the Peter principle at work. But as a receiver coach, I thought he was really good.
I agree. Carl in D.C. is with us. Well, speaking of Jeff Stoutland, let's talk about Jeff Stoutland. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show, as always.
Thanks.
To me, what Jeff Statlin has done in the 8 years he's been here, and especially last night, what our backups were doing against Dallas's first team defensive line and our running game, to me, is nothing short of just absolutely amazing.
It really was. It's kind of lost in the rubble of what the game was. But looking at what that offensive line, what those guys, who a lot of them had hardly played all year, did against the Dallas front defensive front was really impressive.
It was the way these guys don't play all that much. They're not getting all the first team reps, and I was just so impressed watching it. I got one comment and a question, Ray. My sister got to meet you at the Barnes & Nobles in Wilmington, and I got the surprise with your book with your autograph.
Oh, how nice.
With me living in D.C., my wife and my sister teamed up and actually blew me away.
Well, and good. I hope you enjoy the book.
Oh, I've already read it twice.
I'm glad to hear that, Carl.
Here's my question. We lost Sam Mallo to the season-ending Liz Frank fracture, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you see happening next year when he comes back and Dickerson is entrenched in that? Do you see him?
Depends on Kelsey. I know, Ray, you've said you like Dickerson, keep him at guard.
I would.
I don't disagree with you. I know he played center in college and was really good. If Kelsey retires, you got to find a center.
Right.
So I'd like defer to what Stoutland thinks on that. But if Kelsey comes back, I think Landon Dickerson starts over Sam Mallo, if that's the question.
Yes, I agree. Well, I don't know what they're thinking, but I mean, my evaluation is Dickerson's already better than Sam Mallo was. He's already better there. But I think that Dickerson can play center, but you know, Sam Mallo in college actually was a center. I mean, he played some guard and he played some tackle, but mostly he was a center, and he was a pretty good center. So yeah. I think if what you're saying is true, if there's a chance, and there's always a chance with Kelsey that he could decide that that's it, if he walks away, I don't think you're moving Dickerson. He's too good. I mean, the left side of he and Mailata, that's too good. You can't break that up. But I think I think that Sam Mallo could slide over to center and do a pretty good job.
Do you see Stoutland making either the Eagles Hall of Fame or an absolute rarity, an assistant coach, namely Stoutland, making the NFL Hall of Fame with what he's done?
There's never been a true assistant coach voted into Canton. That has never happened. There's some argument that there probably should be, and there are probably a few guys who probably would qualify, but that's never happened. However, Jeff Stoutland in the Eagles Hall of Fame, I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
I would certainly second that motion.
Yeah, I would. I think so too. I think there would be when he eventually leaves, and let's hope it's not for a long time. I think there would be a groundswell of support for that. Jim Johnson, of course, was coordinator,
right?
Who got into it? Are there other coordinators, assistants, Ray, in the Eagles Hall of Fame? Off the top of my head, I don't think so.
No.
But I'm not sure. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
The one interesting thing about Stoutland,
I think Jim might be the only coordinator.
Yeah.
Might be the only coaching, like the only other coach other than a head coach.
That's
but he
what
was
I mean.
A coordinator. But as a yeah. position coach, no, I don't think there is one.
Yeah. Two things before we hit the break. One, I just want to say that I just got a note from Rhea Hughes. Tomorrow morning, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is going to join the morning show at 7:30 as usual. So everybody stay tuned for that tomorrow morning. He'll be on with Angelo, Rhea, and the crew. And just, again, we got to do this quickly, but we know Stoutland was thinking of leaving for Alabama this offseason, and they got him to stay. And by the way, not sure how they got him to stay. I don't want to do the Howie Roseman tribute tour, but good for Howie Roseman if he talked him into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stoutland seems to be one of those guys. You know, you talked about Mike Groh, right? He was a really good receivers coach, and then he became the offensive coordinator, and that did not work out. Stoutland seems to guy from the outside who appears comfortable with, this is what I do, and I do it really well, so I don't need to move up the chain.
Right.
I don't need to become a coordinator. I don't, like, you remember Harbaugh was here as a special teams coach, and then it's like, well, you know, you want to become a head coach, do something else, so he would become the defensive backs
defensive
coach?
Defensive backs, yeah.
Yeah. And so he got that experience and became a very successful head coach. Stoutland, to me, just seems a guy like, I like what I do, and I do it well.
Yeah, I I agree. I think he loves working with his offensive line. I think that's where he's comfortable. He knows he's really good at it. And you move up to coordinator, or you move up to head coach, and there's a whole lot of other stuff that comes with it. You know, and some guys just don't want to deal with it. You know, they love what they do. They love, you know, I mean, Joe Bugle was a great offensive line coach. I mean, what he did with some of those guys Hogs. Down in Washington. Yeah. I mean, he created the Hogs, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. And they were the best offensive line in football for a decade. But then he became a head coach, and, you know, it just didn't work out. And he went back to being
trying to go for it on fourth down against the Eagles, which is the greatest goal.
And, you know, and I ran into Joe later in life, and he said, you know what, the head coaching thing, I should have never done it. Yeah, I should have just stayed on the offensive line. I was a lot happier and a lot more successful.
215-592-9494. I see the callers on hold. Be patient. We will get you. We got Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network coming up. We're going to talk to him, and then we will talk to you. Best caller of the day gets a $50 gift card to Scheib Sports. So far, Carlton, D.C. is in the lead. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Hey, if the cold weather has you thinking it's finally time to replace those old drafty windows and doors, there is no better time than now to make your home more energy efficient while taking advantage of Guida's big winter sale. Now, the great people at Guida Door & Window are extending their biggest discounts of last year through January by offering 40% off of every window and door you buy. That's right. You receive 40% off each expertly installed, energy-efficient replacement window. That also includes free, high-performance, low-E glass. And if you're in need of a new door, you receive 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, sliding patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. You can also take advantage of Guida's interest-free financing or low monthly payment plans to get your project started with no money out of pocket. Offers for a limited time only, so you must act quickly. If your home needs new windows or doors, call the experts at Guida today. Schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.